Testing, checking. Yes! Let's go!
This is the Family Cast! This is the Family Cast! Food and music is life! Yes! Food and music is life! Yes!
What's up, amigos de familia? It's me, Chef Josh, back with another episode of, you guessed it right, The Family Cast, Food and Music is Life, yes, as is told by this theme song that I'm singing over the music of McQueen. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, everyone in between. Today, I continue the series of artists that I worked with for the Witzerd article about food and music pairings, and today I have Mark Johnston from the band called Knelt Before. They did that song that's in Japanese. I don't know if you read the article or heard the music, but that's what we got. That was one of the courses that I chose for the charcuterie spread, the charcuterie and cheese spread and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Check out the article. Link's in the show notes. Don't let me down. Just kidding. It was a fun one. And this is just one of the, there were six courses, so I don't know if I'm going to do all six of the artists that I had on the article, but definitely have this one. And if you didn't get a chance to check out Maddie Caffrey from the Callous Dowboys, check that out. She was one of the artists mentioned in the article. And then I got some more coming up, too. So, yeah, today is Mark Johnston. And you might know him. He's been in a bunch of other bands, too. Divide the Day, Love, Hate, Hero, and a couple other ones. They've all gone on to do amazing things with different labels, major labels, indie labels, hardcore labels, you name it. He's been on it. Straight edge guy forever from by way of Southern California, Orange County bands, namely, and Riverside County bands. So, you know, I know him from back in the day. I want you to know him too. He's got a great story. Great, great story about his own life and musical career and stuff like that. And I just thought that Knelt Before is such a unique sounding band, at least for that song that I picked it. And yeah, we're going to talk about that today on this episode of The Family Cast. I'm Chef Josh. We do food and music pairings. If you haven't figured that out by now, that's the answer you're looking for. And yeah, so the year is coming to a close. I don't know if I'm going to do a best of or anything like that, but my Wrapped, Spotify Wrapped, is telling me that we did some good things. So I did post a couple things on Instagram.com/TheFamilyCast. So check that out if you don't follow the show yet. If you're listening on Spotify or Apple, give us a rating review. I mean, that just helps other people see it. But really, the best thing to do is share the show. Financial support is cool, too. I appreciate that. Thank you for Patreon and Venmo and Buy Me a Coffee and stuff like that. All those links are in the show notes if you want to give anything financially, if you have the means by which to do so. I totes appreciate. But yeah, so as the year comes to a close, I might, you know, figure things out for wrapping it up and getting into the new year. But anyways, yeah, that's all. Just find the links in the show notes. Find me on Instagram or you can email me, famcastpod@gmail.com. I'm everywhere and I got lots of links for you to check out. So yeah, no intro songs from other bands this week. I just want to focus on this kind of like the series of artists that I worked with for the article. And it's just fun. The reason I keep mentioning it is because that's what I do, food and music pairings. And when I get to write about it in other ways and other magazines or whatever, it's fun. So check it out. I've done it twice now for that one. And as I have not been able to do in-person kind of beer pairing dinners at Harvest Kitchen anymore, I miss it. So I want to do more of that. So if you want to collaborate on something, let me know. Let's do something crazy. I used to do stuff all the time at breweries, coffee shops, and pop-ups, and all that kind of stuff. And it's been a while. It's been a long time since I've done one of those, and I would like to get back into that. At least maybe, I don't know. I can help you figure it out if you want to build a menu or if you want me to consult on your event or anything like that. It's just really fun for me to do it. So let's do it, baby. What else do we got? That's about it. We're approaching the holiday better known as Christmas. And if you celebrate Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, all that kind of stuff, Festivus, anything you celebrate, I want to celebrate with you. So let's get together. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to get into the conversation with Mr. Mark Johnston from Knelt Before on The Family Cast. All right, everybody. So let's dig in.
All good.
Okay.
I'm talking to, ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking to somebody who's staying at the Alani Resort. At least the background is. Just kidding. This is Mark Johnston. He's from Knelt Before. And if you may recognize the name from my recent antics doing the pairing stuff with the Witzard from Food and Music Pairings. And the most recent article, I had a Knelt Before song on there. I put it in two languages because it's translated from a foreign language. I want to get into that on today's episode because I'm here with, did you write the song?
I did.
Okay. Yeah.
So got a lot of help.
Yeah. Songwriter. Oh, you, okay. Yeah. See, are you fluent in, what's the exact language that is?
So it's in Japanese. Okay. I studied Japanese for 7 years, but I still got the whole song wrong. it was too formal. Within the Japanese language, there's like casual, business, formal. And right. Then depending on how you're speaking to that person, if you're talking about a person that's at a different level, then you have to change the language that way.
Right.
And so, historically in school, whenever you learn a language, you kind of just learn the business version of it. So the song was in the business form, talking to a person in a business way.
Yeah. Well, that's good. So it's a very nice song then.
Yeah, it didn't match what I was going for. The album is actually kind of a conversation between my son and I. So It's me passing on information to him about how to live life and how I have dealt with experiences and kind of just trying to have a positive little note that I can leave for him throughout. And, when he gets old enough to enjoy that type of music, he's a... not quite there yet. He likes the Ramones. So we're working up to it.
Yeah.
But little by little. Yeah, when he gets there, he'll have something to listen to. But
when he takes over the family business.
Yes.
Because it's a business thing.
Yeah. I had to have a friend in Osaka kind of read over it, and she was like, red pen.
Dang.
Redid the whole thing. But it was nice to be able to get help to make it something that became more accessible. So Someone listening to it in Japanese, it's now more accessible to them.
Got it. Just like the Spanish you learn in school is probably not the Spanish that's always spoken in regular, everyday kind of Mexico or the kitchen or anything like that. It's like formal and proper.
That's right. Our problem.
It's like correct, but it's doesn't,
you know. Nobody speaks it. Well, and then it creates this like, so I'm from Orange County, California. So We try to learn Spanish down there, and they teach it to you. They teach you how to hear it. They teach you how to write it. They don't teach you how to converse.
All right.
And it ingrains this like embarrassment because they don't ever teach you how to be comfortable with it. Mm-hmm. And so it becomes this like input, translate in your head, translate back, output, instead of like just a fluid conversation with somebody. And so it's no fun. And so when someone finally speaks Spanish to you, you're like, okay, he said this, I have to change it back to this. And by that time, they're like five sentences down and they don't even talk to you anymore.
Yeah. How'd you end up coming with the idea to do this song in Japanese? Or is there, do you have other ones like this too?
So I used to be in a band, actually in a couple bands, and we toured a lot. And my favorite thing about touring was I never really had like positive band experiences with the band.
Oh.
I always joined into bands and like I was the worker. So there was a book called This Business of Music.
Mm-hmm.
It was written by a lawyer and it kind of goes through the whole process of like how to get signed. Once you're signed, this is what you should do. This is how you keep from getting screwed over and losing tons of money. And these are what contracts look like. And this is how you read contracts. So like, I read that one and the drummer from Semisonic, if you remember that band.
Closing Time.
Yeah. He wrote a really good book on like, I can't remember the name of it now. Like My Band Could Be Your Life or This Could Be Your Life or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of learned the format of how to go about, you know, working and getting your band signed. And I was gung-ho about getting signed and going on tour. I didn't really care who I did it with. And so oftentimes I didn't really end up with the most savory people. But my favorite thing was always traveling, meeting people, you know, learning new cultures, talking to people. Mm-hmm. And traveling outside of America, the first thing you learn is they don't care what your band sounds like. They don't care if you guys are punk, hardcore, pop, folk. Like, they'll just put you all together in the same festival and you guys just play. And
yeah,
you might be playing after some random band and they're still going to, like, they might not have heard of you ever, but they are going to jump all over each other, clamor. They'll figure out whatever words they can. And they are so excited that you took the effort to come out there.
Sure. Yeah.
And so after I stopped touring, there was a bunch of places that I had seen from a van or from a train or something, and I wanted to go back and see them. And one of them was Paris, because we went to MIDM, which was a convention for record producers and record labels. And that's in Paris. And I took my wife out there, and the first thing, you know, you go to France and they're like, oh, they hate Americans, blah, 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 blah. But it's because Americans have this, I don't want to be just totally bashing all of us, but like there's an assumption that everybody speaks English fluently and they speak your form of English. And so we stayed at the Disney hotel out there, and the guys in front of me just walks up to the lady. He's like, hey, do you speak American? I was like, ugh. So she just looks at him. Like,
there it is.
And it's hilarious because they have these badges that have their name and all the flags for the languages that they speak. And so they have a British flag, meaning they speak English. And so she just looks at him and she's like, really? And so she just goes, je ne comprends l'anglais. Like, and he gets mad and he looks at me and I was like, oh, je ne comprends. So he gets mad and walks away. And like, I don't speak French, but I learned enough that I could converse while I was there. Mm-hmm. And I went 25%. They came down 80%. Because they were so happy that I was, you know, putting an effort in and trying.
Right.
And so just everywhere that I've been, I've always appreciated how much people put an effort in to learning English, because it's so universal for entertainment and things like that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I don't feel obligated to, but I feel like it's right to put my effort in and present songs in other languages so that more people can have access to it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
There's a band in Germany called Axids, mm-hmm. which crazy band. They're hilarious. All their songs, like, they'll replace, you know, it's a funny phrase, and they'll replace a word with acid. So we were covering, I think, what song are we? Axidus instead of Exodus, Axidus. Oh, yeah. And so that song's in German. And it was funny because I had them help me take out the cuss words. So we're not doing any cussing because, you know, like I said, I want to make it for my son.
Right. Right. So how old is he?
He is currently 8. Okay. But he's speech delayed and autistic. And so and he's like just the most loving, beautiful boy. Like, I'm the happiest dad there could ever be. I am so
good.
Awesome. So happy. And so, but because of the speech delay and things, like, I have conversations with him about things, but they're kind of on a more basic level. That's kind of what I want to do with some of this stuff, is when he's ready to access the learning. Presenting some, you know, more complex ideas and emotions and things. And so I talked to them and they changed the lyrics. And so we'll be doing a split with them and it's going to be in German.
Oh, wow.
So then I want to do I got a song that's in Spanish that I want to do.
Wow.
I want to do Iceland Airwaves, but I think we're probably not going to get on that anytime soon because we're a little too heavy for that.
Yeah. But yeah.
Icelandic. That's pretty awesome. Cool.
So yeah, how many languages are you messing around with these days? You got French, Spanish, Japanese, American, and
German.
And German. Yep.
Yeah.
At least song wise, right?
Yeah. And then we'll probably end up doing one. I don't know if it'll work out well, but I'd like to do one in Icelandic. My son, we were originally, before the pandemic, we were planning to go do Iceland Air has like a, you know, free stopover in Iceland on your way to something else. And so we were going to go truffle foraging in England. And so we were going to stop at Iceland on the way, and he started watching these videos that I have, which they're created by the Icelandic government for people that are emigrating to Iceland. So it's a way before you go over there for you to learn some of the language. And he loves language, and he picked it up. And like, he taught himself sign language from watching Sesame Street, and he knows the alphabet and a whole bunch of words and all these things. So rad. I mean, yeah, just my interaction with language has been fascinating over the last over 8 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, with my son going to other places, traveling, like, so
him learning is helping you learn too, then, probably.
Yeah. And we were supposed to go to Osaka 2 years ago to go to Super Mario World when it opened.
Nice.
And that got put on hold because they never opened the country when we had our ticket. And so we had to use that and go somewhere else. Oh, bummer. Mm-hmm. But so now we're looking to go in 24 when they open Donkey Kong Country.
Mm-hmm.
So probably sneak in that on the backside of a tour out there if we can.
Sounds like all the travel is like entertainment related too, like, you know, Disney and Super Mario and all the Donkey Kong, Nintendo kind of stuff. And
it's all, you know, for him. Yeah.
Yeah. That's dope. That's good. And then you can teach him, you know, Minor Threat and Golden Girls and, you know, I get it. Yeah. I love it, dude. That's crazy. So are you into truffles too? Or is that you just go foraging for fun? Or are you totally into that scene?
I have not done hardcore foraging, but I am a big, like, the lobster, mushroom, chanterelles, like, you know, I'm vegan, and I have gone back and forth. I'm back again trying to cut out all the processed stuff. And so it's been really difficult to sustain having a fake burger or a fake, you know, corn dog.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
So, yeah.
Do you consider tofu processed also?
I don't want to eat a lot of tofu just because of the estrogen it produces if you have too much of it. So,
yeah, totally.
But yeah, I mean, it's always hilarious explaining tofu to people. It's just in like, or a nut milk. It's like fermented bean water.
Yeah. Oh,
it sounds delicious. Delectable.
I want to be one, a vegan too. Yeah. Thank you.
Well, and that's good. My wife and my son aren't.
Okay.
And, you know, just, I've always had, so I'm straight edge and I'm vegan, but I don't get along with a lot of straight edge and vegan people, or haven't historically. It's gotten a lot better. But like in my touring days, most of the people that I would meet were so, like, I don't want to say militant, like closed-minded about it.
Yeah, they are. They are.
You can be militant in your beliefs, but you have to allow other people to have their own.
Exactly. And
it's been that
too.
it's been disappointing because I feel that it's a good cause and it's a positive force, but coming from Orange County and having people like fight each other over it, or, you know, do stupid things over it, like, it really, it's disappointing watching what it had become in my younger years, but it's a lot more welcoming now. And it's great to see all these people like just not being jerks about it.
Funny how that works, right? Like, it's the same with like, you know, everything that we did when we were in our 19s and 20s and stuff like that. And we're all brats about it, militant. If you're not this, then you suck kind of thing. And now we're all like older and we're like, it's cool. Everybody do your own thing. I believe this and you believe something similar, so we can be homies or something.
Yeah. And,
you know,
like I had these friends, and it was so heartbreaking. I had a friend who I grew up with. We were great friends. We were both straight edge, but that wasn't like, you know, we didn't hang out because we were straight edge. We hung out because we were friends. Mm-hmm. And he decided to try alcohol. He decided he liked it. He became a bartender, and I never heard from him again. And so like, he's, you know, stopped taking my calls and all this stuff. And I, through a friend, I tried to find out what was going on. He's like, oh, he's just so worried that you're judging him or what you're going to think of him. I was like, well, does he have that low of an opinion about himself that he thinks that I'm going to be judging him? Or like,
yeah,
I've never presented it like, be like me, or I don't want to be with, you know,
right now with you. Yeah.
And so like, if I'd be single.
That's true.
I wouldn't have met my wife. I met her at a party, and that was the funny thing. So after playing music, I was a little misanthropic, just because coming from Orange County, the second you stop doing the popular stuff, everybody goes away. Mm-hmm. And like, I was the one that had all the contacts for the for our sponsors. I was the one that helped get us signed and had contact with the label. Mm-hmm. And so it's, you know, I still had all the cool parts of it. I just wasn't in the band. But the fact that I wasn't in the band, nobody wanted to talk to me. I was like, okay. So I moved up to Oregon and like pretty much just disavowed my Californian-ness. And the first thing that I had to do was I had to go post-vac because I decided I wanted to be a teacher. But I had a music degree, and I was like, okay, well, I got to go back, get my bachelor's, and then I can get my master's.
Okay.
But I am hating life. I don't like people. How do I fix this? I'm going to join a fraternity. Mm. So vegan, straight edge, president of a fraternity. And I was full on the dad, like running around, picking up after everybody, wagging my finger at everybody.
Oh, man.
And yeah, there was all these lovely problems that they were dealing with at the time. And it was just funny because that was how I felt. You know, the best way to socialize myself was to join something that I never would have done in a million years.
Right.
And if I had been so blind with my veganness and straight edgeness, like never would have gone into it. And then the worst thing that happened, I'm wearing a fraternity shirt and I go to this bakery in Portland and I order Thanksgiving, like the meal to pick up for Thanksgiving. And the lady looks at me, she's like, you know, we're a vegan bakery, right? Yes, I do. Well, how long have you been vegan? Who cares? Longer than you've been alive, girly. Like, you know, now I've been vegan for over 30 years. And so like at that time, probably longer than she'd been alive.
Yeah.
And the fact that I had to prove my veganness to order food, it's like, what if I wasn't vegan? What if I just want to get a vegan meal? And like, suddenly it changes my mind and I decide to become vegan. Like, shouldn't you be happy that you're getting your word out? And like,
exactly.
It's just crazy.
Yep. That's the same mentality as the gatekeepers of punk rock or metalcore, or what is this genre? This band's not hardcore because they have a girl singing or playing bass or whatever. And, you know, like the gatekeepers are everywhere, even in the restaurant industry for sure, or food service industry for sure. You know,
yeah.
And you experienced that as a client.
Yeah, and it's like, why can't everybody come to the party? Like, who cares?
Like, I mean, that's unfortunately a lot of people's church experience too. It's like, well, you're not good enough for this, or you're too much of this for this, or whatever the case, or you're gay, or, you know, you're the wrong color. Like, there's all these things that say no. It's like, what if everyone said yes? You know, you can be vegan too, you know?
Well, and my experience,
or you can play punk rock too, or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, being straight edge or being vegan, I always had people, like, I'd wear a hoodie or something, and they'd come up to me and be like, so what's all this about? I was like, oh, I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't do drugs. Like, I personally don't do caffeine because I don't like the way that it feels. Mm-hmm. And like, well, is it cool if I do? Yeah, I don't care.
You do it.
And so like more people were intrigued with my lifestyle and looked into it just from me being cool with it, mm-hmm. rather than being like, you know, do this, do this, do this.
Exactly.
And like, I've, you know, it's with anything. If someone try to force something on me, I'm instantly going to be like, well,
yeah,
let's, you know, I don't want to do it. But exactly. If it's like, this is who I am, this is what I do, and there's you, I'm like, okay, well, tell me about this little bit. And then, you know, you take little bits of it and you can find the stuff that you like, mm-hmm. and adapt it to your life. Like, I don't want to claim that I'm totally straight edge because I don't like the violent parts of it.
Sure.
But I like not doing things that alter my mental status. Mm-hmm. And that's cool for me just because I do so much and I've always got a million things going on. I don't want to ever feel like I'm out of control. And if people want to have a snifter of whiskey when they're hanging out, or brandy when they're hanging out by the fire, and do something, you know, whatever, great. We'll still hang out on Thursday.
We're mature. Yeah, exactly. Then speaking of all the, like the gatekeeping and stuff, how has it been? How's the reception been to your music and the, you know, putting stuff out these days and singing in a different language and all this stuff? Like, has it been well received or surprising to people, or, you know?
It was really interesting for me because when I started the idea, Don, one of the other guitar players, and I kind of started with this beginning of the year, and it was mostly, I met him, which I never would have expected, through Craigslist. And, you know, it's like, it was really funny because it was just like, oh my God, this is like the recycler back in the 90s.
Yeah.
Yep. And it was the same type of thing. And I met up with him and I was like, all right, he's straight edge too. He's vegetarian. I hope he's not a jerk. And just in talking to him, he's same kind of mindset. He's a Hare Krishna devotee, so he's not like super pushy with stuff. And it was really comforting. It's like, oh, cool. There's someone who's like me that's not a jerk about it, so we can do this. And I told him what I wanted to do, and I had recorded, you know, some stuff, and he listened to it and he dug on it. So we decided to kind of push forward, and it wasn't really going to go anywhere. But then the more we started doing it, we're like, wow, this is actually like kind of cool.
Yeah.
And so, my friend Shannon, she was in a band called Tall Dark Whimsy, and something happened. Their singer ended up moving to Germany. And so she became available. Mm-hmm. And then through Shannon, we met Derek, and like the dichotomy of our life experiences and musical tastes was very apparent, but everyone kind of got behind the songs. So, I mean, this one's a lot more me than everybody else, 'cause I had 20 something songs written.
Oh, wow.
So they all put their flavor on it, mm-hmm. but I never really wanted to do something where it's like, I'm running the show and you guys just kind of follow along.
Right.
But as the year went on, it kind of became that, especially end of February. I had just gotten back from a work trip to Denver, and I was doing firefighter training, and jumped out of a second story window to do a bailout. My belay failed and I went two stories straight down onto my leg and destroyed my ACL and meniscus.
Ouch.
So I couldn't get surgery till June. So I had a lot of free time to write and record stuff. So it wasn't ever really going to be like something I wanted to put out or do much with. And then I gave it to a couple people. They liked it. And you know, you always got to worry when you've got like two people are like, oh yeah, totally go for it. okay. And so you take the step, and you know, it's actually been very well received, and everyone really likes the positivity.
Awesome.
And the fact that, you know, it's something for me and my son. Like I had a conversation with somebody, and he was asking about the lyrics and how they would be received. And I was like, well, it's between me and my son, so I'm not going to expect that everyone's going to take the same perspective on it and be like, oh yeah, I understand. And that, you know, I'm from the son's perspective, you know, this guy's talking to me from this way. Like, however they take it, as long as they're not taking it something totally radical and weird, like, it's meant to be accessible. The lyrics aren't super cerebral. It's very straightforward. You know, the first song's about how you deal with anger and how you accept it and move on. Anger and acceptance. The second one is, you know, how you take something like a negative situation and you make your own way through it and deal with it. You know, it's, they're very, they're very straightforward.
What's like a lyric that you, so if it's to him or whatever, what's a lyric that's important to, for him to grab onto?
So like purpose, you know, this is why I exist. This is my call. I take the anger, frustration, remorse, regret, and fear and just release it all. And like, this is what I do, and all of the good, the bad, and whatever, I'll take it all in. And then if I don't like it, I just send it away.
And PMA.
Yeah, it's like all the terrible things that are going to happen, there's a way through it. You know, like anger and acceptance. It's the, I'm just not that angry anymore. I've had all this terrible stuff happen to me throughout my life. And I'm at the point where I just can't deal with being angry about stuff. Because it's not going to solve anything.
It's true.
So, you know, it's, and that's all of them. There's a really funny, you know, the fifth song, maybe the fourth song. I think it's best if you just leave me alone. That's a song about my former boss. And so it's like, I'm a purveyor of unpopular opinion and I don't trust anybody else. All I want is to make my own decisions and be free to be myself. And so it's like, I have opinions and ideas that people aren't going to agree with. And I just want to be left alone and do my thing. And like, if you like it, great. If you don't like it, don't bother me.
Yeah. So, let me be.
Yeah.
Now, are you guys totally independent right now? Or is it that, are you, I know you signed a distribution deal.
So we got distro through Wrecking Crew out of Canada, and then digital through Earache. So Earache is just starting to do their digital distribution. So we're one of the early adopters of it.
Okay. That's cool.
It was really funny. Like, they've changed format and they've gone away from a lot of the heavy stuff into more just rock and roll.
Oh, okay.
And, they were reaching out to people asking about doing like a 7-inch club. And so I started talking to him, the one of the guys there, about it, and sent the music. He's like, oh, this is really cool. You should check out this new thing we're doing. And I was like, oh, cool. We're, I thought it was a more established thing. And so, but it's going really well. I mean, it's a lot easier than trying to do a lot of it ourselves, get on those formats, but it's a lot different from when I was younger.
Yeah. Yeah. You send them a song and they take care of putting it out on all the streaming and stuff like that. Is that how that part works?
It's crazy. Like, yeah, it's, you upload the song. They will either assign you an ISRC number or you get your own. And that's kind of the, barcode sound scan number. And you send them everything, they put it up, and I believe they have 23 outlets. So Apple, Amazon, Spotify, etc.
It's like DistroKid or something.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Almost like a label.
Yeah. It's what I was looking for. So
yeah. Hopefully it makes it easy for you. Easier. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, I have dumped a lot of money into this, and the
that's for a good cause.
Yeah, and we're getting a lot of plays and stuff, but like I'm not going into this expecting, you know,
like full-time crazy touring. Yeah.
Yeah. And we're all in our 40s and 50s, and well, Derek's in his 30s. He's our baby.
Shout out. Derek. Yeah. You got a long life to live, kid.
Yeah, but like, you know, I want a couple shows here and there, put out more music.
Yeah. I was just going to ask what's next for the band, you know, after this, like, cause I mean, I picked the song out of, you know, Matt's whole playlist of 10 hours of music or something. And I was like, oh, I should do this one. I feel like it's going to pair well with this spread of, you know, all the stuff that I did for the charcuterie work. Cause it's unique. I mean, I know there's bands obviously that play music in Japan, but there's not a lot of bands from here that are singing in Japanese.
Yeah. Either.
So that's cool.
And I loved our spread, the everything.
Kind of is. Yeah. I mean, well, yeah, if you hear the song, it definitely has elements of your Orange County heritage in there. You can totally hear that Orange County, Riverside County stuff. And then of course all the, just the more mature kind of licks on the instruments and stuff like that. I mean, at least this is what I glean out of it. And then just plus the overall, the everythingness of, I mean, do you even say anything in English in the song?
No.
See? So it's like, it's got this, it's kind of something for everyone, but it's like not maybe not quite what you're like, your ear is like, is the whole thing in Japanese? Is he going to do English? You know, it's kind of like it builds up that nice anxiety in a good way.
Yeah. And somebody made a really cool comment and I didn't even notice it. And I eventually like caught on to it. It was like, sorry, I'm saying like a lot.
It happens.
That even if you can't understand the lyrics, the song is pretty much all in major. And mm-hmm. So it has that positive feeling to it. Yeah, it doesn't have a lot of like dissonant chords except for that very first, you know, beginning part, and it resolves itself. So it starts off like, oh, something bad's going to happen. And then it goes into the, you know, the very first thing is Machigate, which is like, it's wrong, but, and so it starts off negatively. And then as it goes, like even the vocals, the presentation of it becomes positive. And so it, you don't have to really know the language to get something from it, which made me feel real good about it. So
exactly. And that's kind of how I figure out the pairings too. It's like, how does this one make me feel? What does it make you think of? And so it went well with that spread and the overall menu itself. So it's, I say kudos to you for that, for writing it like that, whoever helped write it too, because it's catchy. It is catchy for sure. But there's certain elements in it that are, I think it's the majors, and I think you're also singing in a major tone. It's like, it's like kind of like the tone of the timbre of your voice with the music and stuff like that. It's not like, even the screaming is kind of back level a little bit, you know. It's like a one layer down from the front of the lead, you know, when they're doing this kind of the screaming parts over it. So it kind of doesn't really hit you too hard on that, but it's still, you still know it's there and it still catches you, you know. So it has, there's a lot of elements into the song, so it's kind of a simple yet complex song, if that makes sense. To a certain degree.
Oh, and it's really funny. Derek comes from a very tech metal, loves doing like sweeping and crazy arch spire, like all that remain crazy music. And showing him our songs, well, this one's three chords. This one's two chords. Really? You know, there's so much you could do with these three chords. And having him, you know, throw stuff onto it and kind of add his own flair to it. It was really funny just having him take something simple. And like that song was probably the most complex. And the only part that makes it complex is it has like four hammer-ons. And they're like, they're right next to each other and it's very simple to play. But he got really excited that I deviated from power chords and was able to give him something to work with.
What genre in music would you say that Knelt Before it lies into right now?
I just gonna say hardcore.
Okay, good.
Hardcore is everything. It's, you know, I can't keep up with all the random subgenres that they've come up with for stuff.
And I know.
Again, I don't have time.
Exactly. You got things to do.
They make music. And like whatever you want to call it, however you want to label us, I don't care.
Good.
You know, that was the Choices. It's our poppiest song on that. And it started off where it was going to be kind of like the Japanese song, where it was going to have singing and screaming, but the singing is a little louder. And I was like, it has to have the screaming because that's the unifying element of it. I was like, you know what? The unifying element of it is that we wrote it and we wrote this song too. It doesn't have to have screaming. We can make just a straightforward pop punk song and people can deal with it. And they did. And they like it. So that's all I care about.
Any plans to come to San Diego?
I mean, aside from Thursday?
Aside from the Disney stuff. But like playing with the band?
Yeah. It's been really funny. The weather has been freezing. And we decided on the coldest day of the month so far, we would all get together, which was yesterday. And it went very well for being 20 something degrees in the shop.
Oh, man.
And I kind of maintained my voice a little bit. I mean, I can still talk, so it went well.
Good.
But yeah, it's again, just the difference from the time that I was touring to now, like the amount of money people are offering you hasn't changed. But the cost of touring has exponentially gone up.
Yeah.
And so, again, it's just going to be shelling out a lot of dough to get everybody down there and have everybody have their schedules. We are booked for a festival in Portland in 24, though.
Oh, so, okay.
If nothing,
you have a year to plan.
2 years.
Yeah. Nice.
So, cool. But yeah, it's. So the next thing is going to be doing the split with the Axids. That's mostly done. There's a song that Shannon and I wrote quite a few years ago, which I think will fit in well with what we're doing. It's it's kind of my bro hymn. It's a song that I wrote for. Yeah, I had a friend in Boston who unexpectedly died. And no illness, no nothing, just didn't wake up one morning. And I didn't find out for like a month because I was touring and running around. And then like I found out, I'm like, oh, and just wanting to do something for him and having something happen so suddenly and with somebody who you never would have expected it from.
Mm-hmm.
Like I wrote him a song and, you know, he leaves his wife and kids and they don't know what to do. And I tried contacting them and they didn't check the page anymore. And like, this was, you know, before GoFundMes and anything. So they didn't ask for any help or anything. And the feeling of like, it was a helpless feeling because knowing that something like that happened, knowing that something like that could happen, not being able to do anything to help the family. And I was like, there has to be something I can do. So, I wrote him a song, you know, it's kind of my way to do something. And now I have kind of a better platform than I did before. So, this song is, probably almost eight to 10 years old.
Okay. But it's time to unleash it.
Yeah. You use a little bit of tweaking, but, and then, there's a song. So our idea is we're covering one of each other's songs on the Axids album. So we're covering one of theirs, are covering Anger and Acceptance. I want to do this, you know, this song, and then a cover song. And so we did a cover of The Bird and the Bee, Spark. I don't know if you've heard of The Bird and the Bee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's off. Yeah. Off their first album. It's the last song off their first album. So we did a version of that one and didn't really have a way to release it. So it's going to be hopefully on that split. And then once all that's done, we're going to just try to get more shows and get out there and do something. Yeah, I mean, there have been enough people that are interested that it feels like if we put forth the effort, mm-hmm. it'll get received well. So,
yeah.
And yeah, doing positive music, I hope people don't get mad or.
Nah, they won't be mad.
Not like us.
The world needs more. Yeah. So. Do some more stuff in foreign languages. That's cool.
Yeah. And
you can go tour there.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing is like, you know, we do a song in Japanese, we go to Japan.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So we're one step closer by doing that, you know? One step closer than a lot of bands by doing that. So that's good. Well,
and it's always crazy. Like Japan, you know, most countries where the English isn't the first language on the food chain, they don't want you speaking their language. They want to learn English. So you go to Japan mm-hmm. and you're like, I want to practice my Japanese. They're like, nope, we're going to practice American English because your accent is exactly how I want to talk. So they don't want to hear you say anything except they want to hear the way that you talk about like the beach or the tacos. Like the way you pronounce certain words, they just mm-hmm. want to hear you do it. And then they just laugh and like, okay, now show me how to talk like that. I wanted to learn Japanese.
Yeah. Here, I'll put this movie on. Bang. All right. Well, wrap it up. Tell me one thing that you learned in all this, like doing all the language studies and teaching and post-bac and all this kind of stuff that you seem to be, you know, building yourself with.
Teaching the kid, when a couple of things. So with autism, when they found out he was autistic, they had a grief counselor come in and tell us.
Whoa.
Which it's not like he's dying.
When did they tell you?
Just going, he was 1.5.
Oh, okay.
So very early. And a lot of the resources that they gave us were ways for us to pass him off to other people and do some, you know, and selfishly like remove ourselves. So rather than having classes or things for how to learn how to work with him or how to, you know, teach him things, it was every month you'll get a $40 gift certificate, which you could take, you know, a restaurant and free movie tickets. And then we'll also pay for a babysitter so you can get away from your kid. And that was heartbreaking having this woman present this to us. Like more than learning about the autism, it was just like, people really like want to do this? Like get away from their kids? And he doesn't have any of the behavioral problems. He doesn't have any of the trappings that people like just go on about how terrible it is having autism and stuff. It's like, I was probably mildly autistic when I was younger. The way that I interacted with the world, I couldn't understand people. I couldn't relate to people. I kind of felt a lot of the things that he's dealing with. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard to say like every autistic kid is going to react the same way. And you want to get away from it. And it was insulting that they would present that to us like that.
Right.
So his was mostly speech delay and social development. And so mm-hmm. speech delay, the most amazing thing, and I've posted some videos of it on YouTube, but we worked on his speech delay by doing cover songs.
There you go.
So the first thing we did, We Care a Lot by Faith No More.
Oh,
and
okay.
So that one, he said a single word and I stitched together the whole song by him saying, you know, word by word.
Oh.
And he would then listen to the song and watch himself, and you know, he's dancing and kind of singing along with it. Mm-hmm. And so he got We Care a Lot. He was able to do it, you know, with staccato on the beat, which is really cool. But like, if you listen to the song, it's I forgot the first word of the song. Anyway, something that killed her bees. And so like, it was really choppy sounding, but he'd listen to it and then he would sing along with it. And then the next time I heard him singing along with the song, he's like, fuzz disasters, fires and killer bees. I'm like, really? You got, you know, and then he's got a line down. It's like, oh, let's do another one. So then we did Party Hard, Andrew WK.
Mm-hmm.
And so that one, he was able to get line by line. And then he did Blitzkrieg Bop and he got like the whole stanza. And then he did Beat on the Brat and he got the whole song. And so he's like a football player where he'll watch tape of himself. Mm-hmm. And that's how he learns, is he watches himself and kind of creates that loop. So a lot of kids that have speech delay, they get them this, like, it looked, you know, it's just a big telephone where they can hear themselves talking. And by hearing themselves talking, it helps them kind of adjust their speech. And so he didn't do it that way. He did it by watching himself performing songs and then kind of adjusted himself that way. And so now
it's powerful.
Yeah. He'll sit in the car and like, Paul Simon, You Can Call Me Al. I don't know if you remember that song.
Totally.
The music video had Chevy Chase in it. And
yep.
So, you know, three or four times hearing that in the car, he can now sing the whole song. And
he's getting good at learning the songs too. Actually learning how they go.
He knows all of Piano Man. He loves doing karaoke, which has then learning that part has made him more social. So the two things that he's deficient in, he's now like, he wants to be a singer and he wants to be in front of people.
Nice. So,
and none of that would have been developed had I followed what they told me about him and like, listened to the negativity that came from the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And so the biggest lesson for speech and, you know, child rearing and all that stuff is like, love conquers all. Yeah. My wife and I had we didn't care a button about what that person said. We weren't going to let it dictate his life. And so like they said, oh, you have to watch. He's going to try to run away, or, you know, we have to be worried. And we had to buy a tracker for him and all this stuff. And we've been to Honduras. He's been to, you know, Hawaii a couple of times and all over the country. And he's never wanted to run away or do anything silly or any of that stuff. And I think a large part of it is he is so loved and he gives back so much love.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Whatever challenges we're going to face, you know, if more stuff comes out in puberty or whatever, he has such a strong foundation because my wife and I have just doted on him and not cared about any of this stuff. And, you know, it's frustrating. I've seen a lot of the learning struggles and things, but he has learned coping mechanisms and he's two grades ahead in math and the English and the reading. He's still like just kind of at or below level, but he's made leaps and bounds because we've put the effort in to work on it with him.
Yeah.
And coming up with fun ways to work on it, like learning cover songs. So
that's the power of music too. Like, you know, along with good parenting, of course, but the music, you know, you could develop a whole study program for kids based around those songs and those type of songs with those structures, you know, because when you're saying them, some of them have the same kind of staccato lyrics and, you know, 3/4 signature and, a lot of major chords in those songs too, like, you know, but also like just parts that there's a lot of stopping and starting in a lot of those songs you mentioned too,
and swing,
of course, the Piano Man swing, you know, so like he's got a knack for those, that kind of stuff. Cause maybe if he's not ready for maybe a Knelt Before hardcore song yet, but you know, he's going to get there, but
and he knows. Like a lot of Cat Stevens. So
that's swing too. Cat Stevens has a swing.
Yeah. You know?
Like this, and the songs are kind of like that. They got that same flow as a lot of other popular songs, just because they're good songs. Because those people are major songwriters and they know how to get people's ear.
And he gets into it.
It's working.
Yeah. Yeah. And so if there's other parents that are struggling with dealing with some of that stuff with their kids from what people have told them, there's always a better solution than what's probably being provided to you.
Yeah.
So explore them all.
Explore them all for sure. Yeah. Why not? And why wouldn't you? You know, second opinion. That's what that means.
Yeah. Like we went on a cruise when we couldn't go to Japan, we went on a cruise instead. And we're like, okay, they're showing Mamma Mia. It's 3.5 hours long. Is he going to sit through it? Or, you know, is something going to happen? He was on his feet, dancing, loved the costumes, loved everything.
Nice.
And like, I love you know, he was so stoked and we were just so stoked to be there with him. And so, I am more excited to hang out with him. Like I really don't want to do anything for myself anymore. That's what I'm saying. Like the Disney trips and all this other stuff. And it's all because I just want to see the look on his face when he gets to see Santa or when he gets to see Mickey or, you know, like whatever's going on in my life, that is going to solve every single problem or every negative feeling that I have got. Just seeing my son.
100%. 100%. Yeah. Same. I feel you on that for sure. That's why we do, you know, that's why we do it. Even writing music nowadays, like we already did all that. The reason I do it now is maybe hope to help them a little bit or help them a lot or whatever, but it's fun. Sure. Yeah. But what is it really for? It's for them. What do we leave behind? So you're doing good. You're doing a good thing. I love it. Yeah, I think on that note, we should land the plane. We should land the cruise ship. We should land the train and do, you know, cause, it doesn't get much better than that, than helping out your kids, you know? And even for people who don't have kids, like what's the higher purpose of the songs we write? Like why are we making music or art or cooking or, you know, drawing or whatever we do? Why do we do it? If it, you know, maybe a little for ourselves, but like, hopefully you're doing it for others, but I don't know. Well, that's conjecture. I can't say for what people are doing it for.
Even if you're doing something for a selfish purpose, like the fact that you're creating something and presenting it means that you've got some kind of altruism. So there's something going on hidden that you want to present something, and like even, you know, negative, positive, you're giving someone else something that they can evoke an emotion from, which is going to either, you know, help them get through something.
Exactly. So,
whether you like it or not, the art you're creating is helping somebody.
Boom. You heard it here, ladies and gentlemen. Well, thanks for your time, Mark. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. And thank you for that pairing. Yeah. My wife really enjoyed reading through it all, and she wants to try a bunch of that stuff. So
that was fun. Yeah, I got some more coming up. So as long as people keep making music and sending it my way, I'll pair some stuff with it. So yeah, but I'll play some music at the end and tell people what you're talking about.
Awesome. That kind of appreciate stuff. It.
Cool, man. I'll talk to you soon. Have fun on your trip.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
You got it. Talk to you later.
All righty.
Bye. Oh, man. There you have it. Ladies and gentlemen, everyone in between. What a guy, Mark Johnston. Proud father, husband, vegan, straight edge, musician, not fluent, but speaks a few languages more than most people I know, and writes songs in more languages than most people I know, and a big fan of going on adventures with his son. Pretty cool how he does that. That was a good conversation. Just keeping up with the series of musicians I paired food with. Yep, there's more. So this is the second one out of six. I don't know if I'll get to all six, but I got another one coming up after this episode next week with Andy from Ill Communication. So stick around for that. And it's the holiday season. So that means I'm gonna be doing some Christmassy kind of stuff. I celebrate Christmas. I salute you for celebrating whatever you celebrate. Whatever, it doesn't matter. Let's just celebrate. Let's have fun, and respect each other's wishes and good times. Yeah. So help one another. It's the season. Help one another out. Help a stranger out. Help a brother out. Right. Share the show with a friend. If you want to give the gift of fun, cool merchandise, I got that. I got a merch store, right? Links are in the show notes, of course. Links are in my bio. Buy some FamilyCast merchandise. I got pins. I got stickers. I got shirts. I got sweaters. I mean, on the merchandise store, you can pretty much get any design on any article of clothing in different colors and different kind of materials too. So, yeah, you got hoodies. We got tank tops. We got raglan tees. We got baseball tees. We got everything. So, and I always say we. I just noticed that. But it's not we. It's me. It's me, baby. Maybe we as a collective, like we are family. I got all my sisters and me. And food and music is life. Yes, is what family stands for. But you know, we're kind of a family on this show, right? Whatever. Not always family friendly, if you catch my drift. Zingo. Yeah, and I'm appearing on some other podcasts here coming up soon. So check that out. Just look around. You can always search my name, I guess, on the internet. And if you follow the Instagram page, I usually post stories and stuff like that of the shows that I'm appearing on or whatever. So that's cool. And pretty stoked. I'm going to see a friend of the show, Luke from Good Riddance, and Russ Rankin from Good Riddance. I'm going to see them together in Good Riddance this week, a Friday night at Brick by Brick, one of my favorite venues in town. And they're playing a holiday party, Slabbertory holiday party, annual holiday jam. It's Good Riddance and Pulley and Ignite and Fourth in Line. It's pretty fun show. I usually show up in my Christmas sweater and dance the night away. So that's going to be fun. But you know what? This show is not about them. This show is about Mark and his band Knelt Before. And so I'm going to play some music from that. I'm going to play the song that I paired with the charcuterie spread and all kinds of crazy stuff. The ultimate spread. You should check out the article. It's actually I thought it was pretty fun. Well, you know, if you like food and music pairings, which is maybe hopefully why you're here, you might like the article. Okay, so check that out. And the song is called "Live with Myself." That's the English translation of it. If you didn't understand that, he is singing in all Japanese, so that's why I wanted to include that song on here. It's pretty wild and wacky because I could never do that. I shouldn't say that. I might be able to do that, but I haven't yet. Right? I could learn another language, and maybe I will. Who knows? The future is bright. So, and ladies and gentlemen, everyone in between, amigos y familia, everyone who listens to the show, thank you so much. It's been a wild year. It's been a crazy and wild year. I'm still alive. I'm thankful for that, and I'm thankful for all of you who are listening. You've been an amazing cast of listeners and audience members and everything like that, and we've had some cool engagements online and such. So let's continue that as we roll into the end of this year. I might do a wrap up, who knows, whatever. I'm not going to promise anything, but I know that I have some other shows in the works recorded and some more guests in the queue to talk to. So yeah, we're still going, and I'll keep doing it as long as I can and as much as I can. So until then, I bid you a season's greetings, a fond farewell, and here's Knelt Before with "Live With Myself." All right, everyone. Talk to you in the kitchen. Ciao, ciao.
Machigate iru kamo te. Mayakato.